Welcome in to the Sports Objective right there. Thanks to the assistant track coach, that's Udon Cheek, who did a great job there, and he lets us use that. And appreciate Udon very much. Great Pirate. He actually ran for the Pirates and has been coaching for a number of years. We appreciate him very much. Thanks to Bubba Rosenbaum producing tonight. Thank you, sir. I know you got a lot going on. So we have a special guest later on, Chad Brindle, though, from the Bearcat Journal. He'll be from UC 24/7 Sports. He talked to Bubba early this afternoon about the big basketball game Wednesday night against Cincinnati. Kyle, the Barber Beefcake, how are you, dude?
What's going on, Dave? Paying a little tribute to Ed Leslie, a.k.a. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, here with the screen name, just goofing around. Does Udon have anywhere you can download his music? The Crossbones song, and, of course, the legendary from 2007, My Heart is Purple and Gold. And he's got some other stuff. Does Udon have anywhere you can download his stuff if people want to monetize Udon and give him a dollar or two?
We'll find out from Bubba. I know Bubba may know, and we'll have to ask Udon next time. We need to get him back on. The track is coming up here pretty soon. Well, a guy that's not, I don't think he's had a wrestling career that I know of, and I like him a rapping career. That's right. ESPN Plus college basketball analyst. He does it all. Nate Ross, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. No rapping, no wrestling. You are correct.
I was going to say, I was hoping to see some of the old footage of you jumping off the top rope, but I guess that's not going to happen.
Well, I could do it once, then I'd never get back up.
I more want to see him in the bow tie, just like busting a rhyme, just, you know, old school Rum DMC style.
That would be very old school if I did it.
I could see you right now. You'll be at the announcer table. And all of a sudden, you take a guy and like slam his head to the table and bust the table. I could see that. You could do like be a heel announcer or something, or turn heel or something. Anyway, I was talking to you pre-show with Kyle that it's this year has been. I know that we should be grateful and appreciative to have college basketball, but it's been really weird. And I want to get your take on. You're doing an excellent job watching on ESPN Plus, and I'm watching my friend Nate Ross, and I'm going, that's got to be weird looking all around, and you're concentrating on the game. That's the same. But one of the cool things is when, like, Williams Arena, or if you're calling a Coastal Carolina game and the fans are there and it's a really good game for that team, that place is electric, right? Normally.
Yeah, it usually is, but not this year. And on top of everything else, we are both play-by-play guy, Jeff McCarragher, and I, for the Coastal Carolina games, are both in our own plexiglass booths. Yeah. So it's like we're in a hockey game and we're banging against the glass when we're in the out of the game for a penalty. It's very different, but as different it is for us once the game starts, it's got to be amazingly different for the players and the coaches and the fans, because the fans can't even go watch the game in the arenas.
Hey, you did Coastal Carolina football games last year. Did you get a chance to do any this year?
Funny you should bring that up. No, they were the darlings of college football, as everybody knows. And every time we were ready to do an ESPN Plus game, it got bumped to ESPN, or it got bumped to ESPN2, or to you. So we never got to do a football game this year because of that. And I was so happy they were winning, but I would like to have done a couple of them because they're so much fun team to watch. But we didn't do any of them. They all were on national television on linear format.
I was wondering about that because Nate, because when I saw the, like, on ESPN Plus, the Coastal Carolina, like the games, I mean, you know, knowing that they would probably come up, and then I was wondering why you didn't call it, but that explains it, because they were on one of the sister networks.
Yeah, the people at Coastal, the first couple of games recommended that we do it. But the people at ESPN, because of the craziness of college football and of college sports, said that they have contract people that they have to use because they contract and do X number of games, so they're going to work them. So we are at the bottom of the totem pole. I watched every one of them, and I yelled at the television, but I didn't get to do it with a headset on.
Are you surprised that they were able to hang on to Jamie Chadwell? I think the fact that Jamie runs a spread option, and so many schools, no matter how much the option wins in modern college football, are just so scared of the option. They're so scared it's going to hurt recruiting. So I think that does help Coastal keep him. But were you surprised that nobody came after Jamie? Vanderbilt was a school that I thought might come after him. I think they would benefit from running something unique like that offense. But Coastal held on to him for another year.
Well, not only held on to him, but he took him from the lowest paid coach in the Sun Belt to the highest paid coach in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
That's a good move for him. Now, it's probably not Vanderbilt money, but Vanderbilt's a tough situation to win in because of the league you're in. But he loves it there. He keeps saying, you know, we've just started, and he's building something. And let me tell you something. He's got a redshirt freshman quarterback who can be a redshirt freshman next year again if he wants to because of the eligibility stuff. Grayson McCall, that is really, really special. The kid makes amazing decisions, and he was a redshirt freshman this year. So you tie yourself to him, and you can win a lot of football games the next couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I will make a prediction now, though. The Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech ran triple option with Paul Johnson.
True.
And then decided that they were tired of doing that, and they have been terrible ever since the last 2 years. If they're bad again next year, I'm not going to say it. We'll just see.
Well, I think Jamie's going to be invited to a lot of virtual clinics this summer because he's a brilliant play caller, and it's not the triple option. It's a spread option.
Yeah, that's spread option. Yep, spread option.
They're fun to watch, and they're very difficult to defend.
Yeah, kind of like what Rich Rod used to run.
Yep.
Really, there's not many people running spread option anymore. True. So it's good to see it.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. They got, and the thing that made them really good this year, because we did the games like you said, Dave, the past couple of years, their defense had two really good linebackers that were both healthy. They've both been hurt for the last 2 years. So having a healthy football team really helps. And they played really well, but they were all together. And I think they told me, we were talking before the last basketball game, 20 of the 22 starters are coming back.
Wow.
So they're going to be good again.
That's scary. Feedback.
Wow. Well, and the very fact that what I love about it is that Coastal Carolina, not saying it because you're on, is a beautiful area. Man, you talk about recruiting. How can you, that's an easy place to recruit, I would think. And then you have the fact that now he's building an outstanding program on top of that. Sun Belt is, to me, people are not joking about the Sun Belt anymore. Sure. It's on the map. The Fun Belt, as some people say. And
yeah, the Sun Belt has legitimately become the number three group of five league. After the American and the Mountain West, the Sun Belt has separated themselves from the MAC and Conference USA. And nobody ever, just a couple of years ago, would have said that the Sun Belt's better than Conference USA. No. But it is clearly the third best group of five league.
They started out beating everybody in the Big 12 to start the football league.
Yeah.
And absolutely. They just kept going. Louisiana was good all year. And then the great surprise game because of all the COVID stuff. Brigham Young comes to Coastal. And the kid's supposed to be a Heisman candidate, and this kid, Grayson McCall, outplays him, and they beat Brigham Young. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I heard Terry Holland one time, former athletic director of East Carolina, obviously longtime basketball coach of Virginia, say that sometimes what's best for a league is to have somebody on top and everybody chasing them. Talking about when Florida State dominated the ACC, and it made everybody in the ACC start to get better in football. And the last few years, Appalachian has dominated the Sun Belt, and the other schools have had to up their game to try to be competitive with them.
Well, they expanded the stadium. You're right. The Mountaineers have been on top for many, many years, won all those FCS championships. They keep changing the name. And then jumped into division, into the FBS, and did really well. And now Coastal took over this year, and it's going to be Georgia Southern's really good, Louisiana's really good. It's going to be a really good league coming in the future.
Yeah, and that's very exciting, is because growing up, Nate, you and I know not necessarily Kyle and Bubba, but I'm so happy. I think one of the great things about these leagues is the very fact of the fact that you have way more networks now, which means they need content, which means that a lot of the schools that never, ever got on. Plus, I'm very excited to have ESPN Plus. If people don't have ESPN Plus and you're a sports fan, I mean, that $4.99 a month, I lose that in my couch. I mean, come on.
Yep.
$4.99 a month, definitely a great deal. And then if you do the bundle there with the, we have Disney Plus, you have Hulu and ESPN, it's a no-brainer. Like, what is it like, Kyle, $11.99 a month, $12.99?
I mean, it's I'm not sure, but it's a good deal if you want to bundle it. I mean, if you want ESPN Plus, I do know, you know, maybe your kids are interested in Disney stuff.
Yeah.
I know the bundle's a real good way to go.
See, I'm crazy enough to watch like 7 basketball games a night. I mean, that's what I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I'm not working one, or I shouldn't say this, but I wasn't driving. Coming back from the game, we were watching a couple games on my phone because I got YouTube TV and ESPN Plus. So we were watching basketball driving back from Coastal.
Yeah, and that's how I am about college football. And, you know, I do enjoy college basketball. And then now, this year for Pirate fans, I don't know, is ESPN paying us? But they're paying Nate, but none of the rest of us. But, you know, for Pirate fans out there, this year Pirate Baseball is going to be on ESPN Plus. So if you don't have an ESPN Plus subscription, you definitely need to get one, because no more free streaming through ECU Athletics. It's going to be on ESPN Plus, which, you know, some people are going to be angry about that, but in a way, it's good because it's going to give Pirate Baseball more exposure.
That's
and
the key
even
right
I
got
to pay my $50 a year. They don't give it to me either, so I got to pay for it. But it's well worth it.
Yeah, and that's right. And you can get a year subscription for $50 and save a couple dollars. Go ahead, and pay for it all at once.
No question about it. Speaking of which, Nate, with the I know the crazy thing about with this year. I don't know. My gut feeling, speaking of, we're talking about underdogs and how well Coastal did in football. Do you see that for my gut feeling is it's going to be some Cinderella story this year for college basketball? I don't know. There's a lot of the blue bloods are not there, you know, and if there's ever a year for a Cinderella story, this would be the perfect year for COVID and all the craziness we've had to go on with contract tracing, like we had with our very own player. I don't know if you know, Tristan Newton has been out on contact tracing, and we've lost the last two games.
Yeah, I just watched the South Florida game this afternoon just for the heck of it, and I realized I knew he wasn't playing.
Yeah, we have, and then we have Farrakhan out with a groin injury, and then Gardner had a concussion.
James had his last,
yeah. He didn't look right in that South Florida game. He just didn't look his normal aggressive. Just knock people down to get to the rim.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't himself. He still ended up with a double-double. But
well, that's normal. That's what he does.
Yeah, he finds a way to get like 10 boards and 10 points, something like that. But anyway, my point was the very fact that it's just crazy with all the stuff we're dealing with. Do you see that potentially happening where you could see a team that like Coastal Carolina in football, how they did well this year and we were not counting on it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was looking at the American Conference, and everybody's played a different number of games. Coastal Carolina's been really lucky in that they have not had a game canceled, but many other teams in that league have. As a matter of fact, they looked it down. Even in the NBA, the Mavs and the Pelicans postponed tonight because of that stuff. And the Sixers the other night only had 8 players, so you got to have 8 to play. But in college basketball, I hope to God we have a tournament. I hope they don't cancel it again. But if we do, it's going to be everybody's going to Indianapolis, as we know now, in the different venues. But absolutely a team that was a 7 seed or a 10 seed or whatever in past years could win the whole thing because they stay healthy or because they just get on a little bit of a roll and another team might have to cancel a game going into the tournament. It's like a couple teams haven't played for – I watched Davidson last night. They hadn't played for a couple weeks because of all this stuff and then played last night. So it's just going to be a roller coaster ride, and the coaches have to be unbelievably flexible and adapt to the situation because they might not play for practice for 2 weeks and they have to play 2 games. So it's just nuts. So anything could happen. And as Coach Ellis says every time he goes to do a game, hey, let's just be thankful we're playing tonight and take advantage of the situation. I'm sure Coach Dooley tells his kids the same thing, because you never know if you're going to get to play another game because of the situation we're in.
Nate, the Pirates were rolling, playing really good basketball, and Joe let the guys go home for Christmas. We had a break around that time. It just fell perfectly, and he let them go home for Christmas. We came back. We had to miss a game with Wichita State because of COVID. Then we went on the road with Tulane after not playing for about 2 weeks, and just didn't play well on the road. And now we got guys out because of contact tracing and concussion, et cetera. And it just seemed we just lost all our momentum and haven't been able to get it back after the guys went home for Christmas. How do we get it back? How do you right the ship and get it back and get back to playing basketball like we were in November and December?
Well, the thing that scares me is second semester is going to start now. And 20, 30, 40,000 students at various colleges are coming back to campus. This could happen all over again, unless it's really careful. I mean, it's tough. Coaches love routine. Players don't like routine, but they're better because of routine. And it's repetition and routine. And when you can't practice because you have to shut down or whatever you want to call it for a couple of days, it's tough to get that momentum back. Kids don't, like I said, they don't say that they like discipline, but they're better because of it. And discipline meaning go to class here or sit in your dorm and do it by your laptop or your apartment, and then go to practice and you praise them, play on Wednesdays and Saturdays and all that kind of stuff, depending on the league. Some leagues are going to back-to-back games now, but it's just really hard to get any kind of routine and positive momentum going when it's broken up by various contract tracing or the other team can't play, so that game's canceled. It's just really hard to do. And with students coming back to campus, I'm scared that it might happen again.
Yeah, you know, and I know, like, in North Carolina, the UNC system schools, only grad students are allowed on campus, no undergrad in person. So that'll help, you know, with East Carolina, for example. But
I mean, you got to eat, and yeah. The kids, you can't keep them in a room 24/7. It's just hard to do. And the other thing, Coach Krzyzewski even came out, and Coach Capel of Pittsburgh, and said, I don't know if we should be playing because these kids have been away from their homes and their families for so long. And that's something to think about as well. It's a crazy season. It started last March. I'll never forget. I was sitting there March 12th getting ready to do a tournament game, and they said, go home. And that's how it started. No summer, no preseason workouts for basketball. It's been really tough to get any kind of momentum going because of lack of consistency.
Yeah. They were there since July, and then – like Kyle said, we kind of had like our – Kyle, I think that's what you're talking about, the very fact we had kind of like our own – Dooley had did a great job in the staff of having like a bubble. And then literally when we were doing fairly well, we had a stoppage or two, but nothing major.
Nice.
And we hit 7-1. I mean, the best start in modern history that I know of. And then
– so I said when he said he was doing that – I said, I get it. The boys need to go home and see their family. I said, but it's a mistake.
Well, in hindsight, it is. I mean, you see that. But trust me, you want your kids happy. And if they don't go home and get moms cooking there, it's tough. It's tough. It really is. I mean, I did it for 15 years in college as a coach. And Coach Kremens, who I worked for at Appalachian State, always wanted the kids to go home for Christmas just to go home and be with their families.
You know, I get it.
Have been, like you said, Dave, they've been there since July. That's tough.
As we sit here in January, and we talk about the tournament in March, and something we were talking about pre-show was the vaccine. The vaccine hopefully will become more readily available in the coming weeks. Yep. It could be a situation where all the guys have the opportunity to get vaccinated going into Indianapolis.
Well, I'm sure, but the other thing that I'm not a member of the NCAA anymore, I can say this. I said it before, but not out loud. The NCAA needs some body, person, group to make rules. They don't have that. Each conference has their own protocols. Each state has their own protocols. You can't control the states. But the NCAA could have a body or a group, like they pick the the four teams that are down to two, they're going to play tonight for the championship, just to control everything because everybody's doing their own thing. They think they're doing the best, but it's just hard to do that when each conference has their own set of protocols. And in the pre-conference games, you're playing a team who might test twice a week when your conference tests four times a week. Yeah. And you can test negative today and be positive tomorrow. It's just, it's a crazy situation.
That very thing that you said was spot on with the testing. Look at, hey, Kyle, how about the Navy game with Holton Ahlers? If we have a general rule across the board, then with the Southeastern Conference, if they have a false positive, he could have played against Navy, and I would feel like he should have won that game.
That was a bad rule. That's a bad rule. If you test once positive and you're showing no symptoms and you test multiple times negative after that, then it should have been ruled a false positive. And that was the case in the SEC, but the American didn't have that rule, and it cost us our quarterback being able to play against Navy, which essentially cost us the ball game. And it's like Nate was saying, if you had a uniform policy for the rules where everybody had the same rules and protocols for testing, then that wouldn't happen. But, you know, you got to hope that by certainly to God, by this time next year, this would be a thing of the past. I mean,
I sure hope so. Yeah.
I've had it. Bubba's had it. So two people up here have had it. I know Dave hasn't had it, and he's the one that works at the damn hospital. Nate, I don't know what your health situation is. I don't know if you've had it, but Bubba and I have both had it. So, I mean, I know, you know, I can remember just like back in September or October, I didn't know anyone personally that had it. Now I've had it, and I know at least five or six other people personally, not know of, but I know them personally that have had COVID. So it is so widespread now that, I mean, that's just, you know, a little sidebar to what we're talking about, but it's relatable.
No, I have not, but as you said, in the last two and a half weeks, about five or six of my friends or their wives or their husbands have tested positive.
Yeah, it is, I think, and I hope that we are seeing the peak of this pandemic and it's downhill from here.
Yep.
But time will tell.
Well, here's the thing, not to get on a COVID objective, but it looks like the next 2 weeks, from everything I'm hearing, I'm not a doctor, I don't play one on the sports objective, but this week and next week are going to be the worst weeks that we've had. And then, as we move through January, towards the end of January is when we finally will see that curve coming down. And I don't have any charts or anything or graphs, but or the data here with me. But what I do know is that people didn't listen to Kyle and Dave and even Bubba, and they didn't listen to us about the common sense stuff of not having holiday parties and for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And so that's what we're feeling right now is the holiday people that were basically selfish and they didn't do things for the common good. And we have a situation. I know someone personally who a lady told a sister, do not go see my mother, our mother. And the lady did, the sister did. And the sister, it was a nurse at a hospital near Kyle. I won't say where it is. And so what happened is they ended up, she's positive. And then gave the mother COVID, and the mother is 84 years old. So, so it's a situation where people, if my mom and dad were even older than they are, then I would be like, hey, I'm not going to see you. I'll FaceTime you. We'll talk on the phone. You know, all kinds of things that you can do. But to be up close and personal to them, especially when I work where I work, then I would take that into consideration. But you have all kinds of selfish stories that we could spend hours on or not, but that's what needs to happen is people need to start thinking about the common good. And if you're a Pirate fan and you want to see football games, get vaccinated or you're not going to be able to see games, period. I mean, it's going to be like that in August or September. And now they're starting today where if you're 75 or older, then you can get the shot. So that's another good thing. And then I think that they should open it up as many people as want to get the shot, because I think there's a way more, I will say this and we can move on. There's way more people now than I thought. Want the shot? I'm pleasantly surprised, considering all the people that refuse to wear a mask or not wear a mask properly. They won't social distance, all that. But it looks like, I think people are finally saying, you know what, enough's enough, and we're going to get the shot.
That's good. Well, what I'm hearing. You know, I work on a Kiowa, the golf course, in the summertime. And it was the perfect social distancing sport. But I caddied for a gentleman one day who was in charge. He's not a doctor, but he was in charge of all the numbers for the state of Florida. And he said he gave a report to the governor of the state of Florida. I said, what do you do it every day? He goes, no, I give it to him every hour.
Wow.
And this was in the middle of the summer. And he told the governor that it's all about the bars. In a bar, there's no social distancing. In a bar, the more you yell to your bartender, to your buddy, whatever, across the bar, that's when the particles go out. And he said, I'm telling you, it's all about the bars. And the governor shut the bars down in Florida the next week because of that. And that was one of the big things where they not shut it down, but they slowed it down in the state of Florida because of that. It was fascinating to me how he said that. It's all about it's just a numbers game.
Yeah, and I think you can get it a lot of different ways. I think, you know, the reason we're seeing it so widespread now is obvious because of the holiday get-togethers, people seeing their family. And I did that too. You know, I got together with my family, but, you know, I had already had it. And thankfully, none of us got it directly, at least from my gathering. But, you know, it's I try to pinpoint where I got it, Nate. And I hadn't been to a bar per se. And I have one of three places I think I got it from. And, you know, I'll never know for sure.
Sure.
I don't guess it necessarily matters. But, you know, as we've kind of got off of the subject here, started talking about COVID. But it's an interesting thing, and it's an interesting time, and it's something that we never have to live through again.
It is the subject for college athletics and for the whole world.
No, you're right.
The thing that gets me, and I want to add, what do you think, Dave? To get back to basketball specifically, if you don't want to use your year of eligibility this year, you don't have to. Where's the money going to come from for all these scholarships next year?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
I don't understand. You can't print money. How are they going to do this? For football, for basketball, it's only a couple. But for football, it's big-time numbers.
You're going to have a lot of kids being told, yeah, we know you can come back, but you've already graduated. You got your degree. Why don't you hit on out? Or, you know, in the case of, we use East Carolina, for example, Darius Phoenix, good running back here, but he's buried on the depth chart.
Like third or fourth.
And Darius wants to be a starter. And good kid, good attitude, well-liked by the coaching staff. And, you know, I think there was a conversation between them and him, and told him, look, why don't you go somewhere else and have a chance to start. So I think there's going to be some things like that done, because all these kids can't come back. It's just not going to happen.
You sign a really good point guard because you have a senior point guard.
Yep.
And now the senior decides, I'm going to play again next year. And it's just crazy situations. Aside from the money of paying for the scholarship, now you got a kid who thought he might have a chance to be a starter, and he's not going to be because the senior doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
Well, one question comes to mind.
And the thing is, it's not just a one-year thing. It's everybody got it. It's not just the seniors. Everybody got
absolutely
an extra year of eligibility.
No, it's not. It's going to take more than a year to sort it all out. No question.
I think what they're going to have to do, I think they're going to have to go back after maybe 2 years and retroactive going, hey, look, we know we said this, but if you were a freshman or a sophomore during those years, maybe you don't get another year after all. I don't know.
Ooh, that's going to be tough. But unless they can pay for it, it's all about, it always comes down to money.
Well, yep. Coach Dooley was asked about that, Nate, and he brought up the very fact of there's already been preliminary conversations. You take a kid like, for example, Jaden Gardner, who's a junior, right?
Yep.
He's going to be a junior again next year, technically. I would imagine, and I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine that will be Jaden's, technically it would be his junior year on paper. It'll be his fourth year. unless something crazy happens, I don't see him coming back for a fifth year. I really don't. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't know. I'm not the kid's agent. I'm not his dad, obviously.
Sure.
I have no way of knowing what he wants to do. I would love to have him for 5 years. I'm not saying, but it's a situation
I
like that.
Somebody like Jaden, Dave, is going to depend on, you know, does he have a big, what would be his senior, technically his senior season, but right. I know it's his junior season. Does he blow up? Does he have a season big enough that he's going to get drafted, you know, go one of the first two rounds of the NBA draft? And if he does, or if he can sign a lucrative overseas contract, then my guess is he will not be back for a year five.
Right. Yeah, by the way, we have one of your friends, Nate. I'm going to bring this in here. Brendan Shapiro says, "Hi, Mr. Ross. I don't know if you remember me, but I'll let you borrow my purple and gold wig for the
ESPN
broadcast for a couple of years. Miss you commentating our game. So I wanted to, he's one of our colleagues. I wanted to, and I know that y'all know each other. So I want to put that up on the screen.
That's one of my favorite pictures of me and Evan Leppler. And I got that purple and gold wig on.
No question. One of the questions I had, we were talking about, one of the things that Bubba messaged me on is the very fact about, we were talking earlier about number of games played. When you when you made the point and you were talking about the fact that we should have some kind of rules, well, one of the things that drives me crazy with college football and now basketball, and I'm sure it'll be the same thing with baseball and other sports, is that when, and I know they're getting ready to play, and I'm not knocking Ohio State, but they only played six games, and they do deserve to be in the national championship. No, listen, hold on. I'm just saying, how six games, and then you have some game, you know, like with Bubba, the reason I brought that up is Bubba was talking about Temple for basketball has only played three games.
I know
Alabama again has only played two games.
You got a 13 game minimum to be eligible for the NCAA tournament, Dave, if that's what you're getting at.
Well,
yeah,
I was thinking that. Somebody like the conference, well, it was supposed to be six games for Ohio State, and the Big 12 said, or the Big 10 said, yeah, we'll change the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll happen in college basketball. I mean, you just don't know.
I was getting to that.
Say the ACC can't play their tournament, or the Southern Conference can't play the tournament when only the winner's going to go anyway. It's just going to be. I guess the regular season champion
would get the bid by default with like the hook on.
Don't know.
That's what they did last year. One of the crazy
ones. Doesn't come to that.
Florida State won the regular season, and I have nothing against Florida State, but they gave them the tournament. They gave them the ACC tournament champions. Now, I understand they were regular season champions, and they would automatically go into the big dance, so to speak. But right. To give them the tournament when they didn't play all the games to win the tournament. It's totally wrong. Sorry, John Swofford. I like you a lot. But that was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of because there were teams that didn't even play. There were teams that played. There were teams that didn't play. How do you know that they were going to do that? So anyway, I was really frustrated with that.
One thing is it's never happened before. So they might have made bad decisions, but they made decisions at the time thinking they were good ones, but they didn't know. They've never done this before.
Yeah.
It's like Coach Dooley, I'm sure he's never had, I know he hasn't, started a practice season and then said, no, we can't practice for so many days.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's ever been through that. So it's a crazy situation that unfortunately we're going through as a world, not just a country, and they got to deal with it in college athletics, every sport.
Well, Dave was just mad because they didn't give the ACC title to Duke.
No, I was upset for the very fact if you've ever coached in a tournament, you know that it could be any team. A team gets hot.
Sure.
That's one of the funny parts about a tournament. That's a tricky part. The love hate thing about a tournament is that you love them, but then if you're a coach or you're a player, and all of a sudden you have a bad game, and the Cinderella team comes and knocks you out, then that's a tough thing. Well, I want to ask you as far as what you've seen so far, the body of work of college basketball, who are you liking right now?
Well, it's interesting. I looked at this morning that Duke is not in the top 100 in a couple of the rankings. Wow. Gonzaga is exceptionally good. Gonzaga is big. They're strong. They're obviously well coached. And I got to see Baylor in person last year at a tournament I did at Coastal Carolina on the radio, national radio. And Coastal had him beat until one of their best players just tore his knee up going in for a breakaway layup. But Baylor is exceptionally good. Villanova is always good. Coach Wright's got an amazing program going there. The Iowa Hawkeyes are good with Luca Garza as well. And they got both Coach McCaffrey's, who used to be, of course, at UNC Greensboro back in the day. Both his sons, 1'6'10", 1'6'5", both play. But Luca Garza is kind of a throwback. He's a big, strong, 6'10", 6'11", post player, back-to-the-basket player, who can make threes because they all can. But he can run the floor really well. But Iowa's really good. Kansas is not played as well, but they will. Notice there have not been any ACC teams mentioned. Because they're just not playing well right now because they haven't played a lot. Tennessee's very good. Houston, out of the American Conference, is exceptionally good. And the Clemson Tigers from the ACC have only lost one game. But I think Houston could be that kind of team you're talking about, Dave. Not that there nobody knows about them, but they're not in a Power 5 school conference. But they're really good. They've always been good. And they could be a team that can make a lot of noise come March.
I really believe, I said this before seeing the games, because of like what we're talking about, I really believe Houston's a Final Four team. And I'll say that. And I have no interest in Houston at all, but just seeing what they've been doing down there with Coach Sampson and done a nice job. It's a great league, as you know, calling the games, Nate.
Sure.
The American is very underrated, and it's one of those leagues where that maybe some of the people don't know the teams, but they're building, and that's helped Coach Dooley, I think, in year three. My question to you, as far as local, you've seen not this year, obviously, but Coach Dooley with East Carolina, do you think we're that much closer to getting into a postseason tournament at NIT, the big dance this year?
Yeah, well, like you said, they started out phenomenally well. And then because they didn't win games, not because they didn't play well as much as they didn't win games because they didn't have all the players. The players that were 7-1 are not the same players that have played in the American games. In fact, if I was watching the South Florida game, they said they put in one young man that only played in 5 games this year, and he played a lot simply because he had to. They were short in the backcourt.
Right.
So those kids will get experience. Coach Dooley's a heck of a recruiter. Obviously, he's a good coach. And it just, unfortunately, it takes time. You can't do this. You don't go worst to first like you do in the NFL. Doesn't happen that way. Because the American Conference is too good from top to bottom. So he's going to get it done. It's just going to take some time. And unfortunately, you don't have home court advantage now because no fans. So there's a lot of things going against them. It's not a year you throw away, but it's a year you hope to just get a little better and build on what you've done. And Jaden Gardner's a pretty good piece to build around, as we've all seen for the last 2.5, now 3 years.
Nate, do you know, speaking of postseason play, let's just say the Pirates get hot and ended up start winning basketball games again when we get healthy. Is there going to be an NIT this year?
It's a good question. I don't think they know yet.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying it's going to be an NCAA this year.
I think we'll get it. I'd be willing to bet we're going to get an NCAA tournament this year.
Well, if they do, the NCAA is going to run out of money because that's a multi-million dollar revenue producer for them. And they think by doing it in Indianapolis and not traveling as much and all that kind of stuff, it'll help. But March is not the same without the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's the biggest thing in this country. It's the biggest thing in the world with all the foreign players. And I just
$600 million.
I just hope we have one.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt. Hey Nate, thanks for coming on. You spend a lot of time with us. Appreciate it, bud. And what about golf now? I know you were. Things have been kind of tough. Well, before we let you go, how are things looking for 21 as far as your business and as far as the game of golf?
Well, you see, I got my Tour Lock hat on. So this spring, it was destroyed because nobody would let outside vendors come to their golf course. I think I normally went to about 40 places. I think I went to 2 places this spring.
Wow.
Because people wouldn't let him come. It was by appointment only on the driving range at the private clubs. And it just didn't happen. But when I caddy at Kiawah Island at the ocean course, since golf is the perfect social distancing sport, Kiawah usually slows down after Labor Day when the schools go back up north. Kiawah was packed every single day till about 2 weeks ago. It's been amazing.
Wow.
Because like I said, it's a great, you can go outside. Yeah, we wear gaiters the whole time when we're caddy and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, my business, in fact, it's funny. I got a letter from the bank the other day. Is your account still active? Because there hasn't been any activity in the last couple months. And they're going to charge me a month. I said, no, it's active. I just haven't been working. But my business account. But I think that the game of golf is good. I think they're going to start letting fans back to tournaments. There was a few in Hawaii this week when I was watching. If the Masters has tournaments, that'll kind of set the bar for everybody else. But yeah, my business has been on hold for a while. Hopefully this spring it'll be much better.
Well, we definitely hope so, my friend. Thank you so much. And how can people follow your work?
It's a weird, my Twitter account is HUPNLST, Hoop Analyst Nate. But if you just Google Nate Ross, it'll come up in all kinds of different ways. And if you go on Facebook, I always put crazy stuff before the game and all that kind of stuff. But I don't have a purple and gold wig. I need a teal wig, I guess, now to do the Coastal Games. But yeah, just on Facebook or on Twitter. If I could figure out how to post to Instagram, I would, but I'm not real good at that yet. But just follow college basketball, and if you Google me, you'll find all kinds of games.
All right. Well, thanks so much for everything, and look forward to having you back on as we approach maybe the tournament time.
Love to. Anytime you ask, I'll be glad to come on. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks, Nate.
All right, thanks, Nate. Hope you have a good night.
See you.
All right, Nate Ross. Enjoyed him, obviously, for doing a lot of Coastal Carolina games and certainly our games a couple years ago, and we'll see how that turns out. You know, Kyle, one of the big stories of college football was the University of Cincinnati, and we had a chance to definitely see about where they would land and how they would do, unfortunately falling short to Georgia. But now the Pirates in basketball, they're going to be heading up to Cincinnati on Wednesday afternoon at 5 p.m. on ESPN. Speaking of ESPN Plus, and our very own Bubba Rosenbaum talked earlier this Monday afternoon to Chad Brendel of UC's 24/7 site, the Bearcat Journal. And let's go to that interview right now.
Cincinnati on Wednesday night, 5 o'clock tip-off on ESPN Plus, as they will seek to snap their 2-game losing streak by doing something they've never done, and that is win on the road against the Bearcats. And right now, to preview that matchup, we welcome back in from the Bearcat Journal, and that's, of course, UT's 24/7 site, Chad Brendel. Chad, we appreciate you rejoining us.
Anytime, man. It's become, you know, if the Pirates and the Bearcats are playing, I'm right here with you.
Absolutely. Always appreciate you coming on. And before we talk some basketball, I hate to bring up a sore subject. I'm sure not as mad as you were being a UC guy, but outside of East Carolina playing, I was extremely ticked off with the way things went in that fourth quarter with UC falling to Georgia 24-21. I know you unfortunately were not able to attend, but just what was your take on the game?
I mean, I think the most important part was UC showed they were every bit as good as Georgia and did so without their starting center, their All-American corner, their All-American safety. They lost their left tackle right before half, and they still went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the country and a team that might be rated number one or at least probably number two or three going into next year. And they showed that they were every bit as good as Georgia. Unfortunately, man, if you ever college kicker is supposed to be a thing, right? And then that dude goes out and just is ice cold from career long 53 yards. And as soon as he hit it, it was one, like, as soon as it came off his foot, you're like, that's good. Yeah. Nothing you can do. That thing's going to go through. I mean, there were plenty of things to debate and discuss. on what went wrong and where they could have done things a little bit differently. But, you know, they put themselves in a position to win. You know, that's been the what's been the most elusive for the Cincinnati program is getting that win in a New Year's Day bowl. And that was by far their best performance. They came up one play short, unfortunately.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking about before we started recording, Chad, is just, you know, Gardner was missing, and that was very apparent, as well as Cincinnati's defense played for a big part of that game. That was obvious in the passing game, particularly in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, that was the marquee matchup in the game, I thought, was Pickens, George Pickens against Ahmad Gardner. You have two guys. Pickens is going to be one of the best receivers in the country next year. Gardner's already getting first, you know, won a bunch of first and second team All-American awards for his play in his sophomore season. So that was like the headliner. And then Gardner gets back spasms warming up and can't go. And that was a big blow. And then not having James Wiggins, who's your All-American, at the back end of your defense that, you know, Georgia was able to get, what, 3, 4, 5 balls over the top of JT Daniels, where you have to wonder with Wiggins back there, how much different does that look? So that it unfortunately, it leaves a lot of what ifs for Cincinnati. But one thing we've learned, you know, Luke Fickell is very good at refocusing his team and getting them aimed back in the right direction the following season. You know, they had struggles with UCF, and then they finally knocked them off 2 years ago. Memphis wins the championship last year. They roll Memphis this year and then win the championship. So you can guarantee they will have their sights set on the New Year's Six once again next year. And they got a whole lot of guys coming back that maybe you didn't expect were going to be coming back out of that junior and senior class too. So should be fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Coach Fickell certainly stockpiled a lot of talent, and you mentioned some talent transferring in as well and from starting nose tackle at the University of Virginia. But one of the things that really stood out to me, and I say stood out, it didn't surprise me so much because I know the type of defense Cincinnati had, but I think that made a positive impression and maybe turned some heads nationally in just the way Georgia had to throw the football to win the football game.
They couldn't run at all.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia is a team that obviously prides itself on being able to run the football, and really neither team was able to run it very well outside of Ford's 79-yard touchdown run for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big thing was we thought Georgia was going to come in and try to control the line of scrimmage, and it was very apparent. They tried to run in the first quarter, and it was very apparent there wasn't going to be anything there for them in the run game. So they just started to pick on the depleted secondary, which Cincinnati still, I mean, held them to, you know, take away the safety that happened with 1 second on the clock. You hold that Georgia offense to 22 points, you're feeling pretty good about your chances. Just couldn't get it home.
Yeah, no doubt. And kind of transitioning, and let's talk some – or actually, before we transition and talk hoops, and let's talk about the Bearcats did lose defensive coordinator to Notre Dame. So where do things stand with that?
And Luke Fickell's going to have a lot of names presented to him for this defensive coordinator opening. I mean, they only lose one guy on the defensive line. They lose one linebacker. They lose both safeties, but in 2019, James Wiggins was out with a torn ACL, and Javon Hicks stepped in and was an all-conference performer with 5 interceptions and I think 4 fumble recoveries. So he'll step back in, and then a guy that transferred from Howard, Brian Cook, was started in the Peach Bowl in place of Wiggins and had 7 tackles and was just flying all over the field hitting people. So they're going to be fine in terms of talent. They're going to be loaded in terms of talent for a team that was, you know, in some measures a top 5 defense throughout the season last year. So that job's going to be heavily coveted. I don't think it's going to take a long time to fill. My guess would be they'll have some interviews this week and try to get this thing wrapped up. You know, the students return to campus today. So they're going to want to get that thing, you know, taken care of as quickly as possible. I would guess within the next week to 10 days.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
but
I'm sorry. Just certainly no surprise. And with everything that Luke Fickell and the Bearcats have built there at UC, and like you said, with so much talent returning, you certainly would expect plenty of people to be lining up for that position.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be. They're not going to be hard pressed finding potential candidates. The way Fickell has done things, it's probably going to be somebody he has some connections with and ties to. You know, Chris Ash would be a name that would jump right out at you. That was the defensive coordinator at Texas this year. Was co-defensive coordinator with Fickell at Ohio State before he got the Rutgers head coaching job. That would be a name. Mike Tressel would be a name. Mike Mickens, who's the cornerback coach at Notre Dame, ironically, would be a name to watch. He left Cincinnati to go to Notre Dame last year. He's the number one corner in UC football history. So there would be some precedent to bringing him back. It's going to be interesting to watch how this week plays out to see who gets involved.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll certainly have our eye on that. Now shifting gears to hoops, as solid as the football season was, and to say the least, for Cincinnati, unfortunately, basketball has not gotten off to a very good start, a very uncharacteristic start. 3-7, 1-4. Of course, both Cumberlands are gone, Trey Scott's gone, and the team's been competitive. Six of those seven losses have come by single digits, but what can you tell us about John Brannan's ball club? This is a program that, you know, went 20-10 and is accustomed to competing for championships and was 13-5 atop the American last year.
I mean, the biggest thing so far has been an inability to close games, where they've been right there, you know, either with a lead or within a basket under the final, you know, 4-minute timeout. And they just haven't been able to finish. That part has been frustrating. The other part is just the inconsistency, because the roster is so young. You're relying on three sophomores and two, now three freshmen, to really give you a lot of minutes. You know, when you're nine-man rotation, when 66% of it is freshmen and sophomores, there's going to be inconsistency. I mean, you're starting to see the talent emerge. Zach Harvey had a really good game last night, who's a sophomore, former top 50 kid. Big man Tari Eason, who's a true freshman, has been very good. Jeremiah Davenport, who's a sophomore, is their second leading scorer. So they're just going through the growing pains of turning over the roster. The thing you look at, you know, Mick Cronin is only – John Brannan's in, what, nine games into his second season? It's not like Mick Cronin was here that long ago. And Keith Williams and Mamadou Diarra are the only two players left from Mick Cronin's. So that makes it difficult. You know, they had added seven new players last year, seven new players this year, 14 new guys into your program over a two recruiting cycle span is substantial. And you've got to find that leadership. You've got to find that toughness and culture, but you're trying to do it with guys that have never been there before. So they're competitive, they're talented to an extent, but there are flaws defensively. They're not nearly where John Brannan wants them to be right now. And as we saw last night at Wichita State, they went 8 minutes and 27 seconds without a field goal. When you go 8 minutes and 27 seconds without a field goal in the second half, it's a little tough to win the game.
Well, here at East Carolina, we can certainly relate to the offensive woes. The Pirates have been playing tremendous defense, rank in the top, you know, 25 to 50 or 60 nationally. And so, you know, in the top 18 to 20% of all Division I basketball teams defensively in most categories. But offensively, it's largely been a struggle, you know, ranking, you know, closer to 200 or thereabouts in a lot of offensive categories. So, and Jane Gardner has struggled the last couple of times out. You know, he's also battled maybe some contact tracing and certain you know, COVID pandemic problems in addition to concussion protocol. So that's been a contributing factor. But in order for East Carolina to have a shot at Fifth Third Arena, a place where I think they're 0-8 or 0-7 all time, and have only been within 15 points of the Bearcats just once, way back in 2002 or 2003. Jaden Gardner is going to have to be the 17-7 Jaden Gardner as opposed to scoring 5 or 10 points.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup, especially if it's Gardner and Tari Eason. I think Tari Eason is probably one of the most talented freshmen in the league, but he still makes freshman mistakes. And you make mistakes against Jaden Gardner, Jaden Gardner generally makes you pay for them. So I think that's going to be an interesting matchup to watch. And with Cincinnati, it's just going to be a matter of consistency because they go on runs for 4, 5, 6 minutes where they look dominant, and they'll rip off 11-0, you know, 14-2 runs, and then they'll turn around. They had a moment in the SMU game where they fought back to tie it up. They tied it up at 44, and then they gave up an 11-0 run immediately after. And it's like, you know, you go on a 11-2 spurt to tie the game, you take a breath, and within 90 seconds, you're down double digits again. And those are the kind of things that's been plaguing Cincinnati. So it'll be interesting to see if ECU is able to take advantage.
Yeah, in the loss to USF on Saturday, and the Pirates bigs were certainly not as athletic as Alexis Yetna and some of the horses the USF had, and it showed after pulling down the first 5 rebounds of the game. USF out rebounded East Carolina 41-28 from that point on, I think, and. So I'm very interested to see how the Pirate Bigs are able to hold their own on the glass and just the team as a whole against the Bearcats.
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati's been kind of Jekyll and Hyde on the glass. They've had games where they've been really good. And then USF took advantage of them on the glass. SMU last night, or not SMU, but Wichita State. Last night gave them some problems, especially I think they had 13 offensive rebounds. The biggest thing will be Cincinnati taking care of the ball. I think that has been a giant. I mean, they had 15 turnovers against Wichita State. Wichita State scored 28 points off the 15 turnovers. That's almost perfect. Like that's one basket from scoring on every Cincinnati turnover. And, you know, stuff like that, that was fairly new. A lot of the turnovers before yesterday were dead ball turnovers, a travel, a charge, stepping on the out of bounds line, which is that happening way more than you ever remember before?
Now that you bring it up, I have seen it more than I typically do.
Guys catching the ball on that sideline over by the corner and taking that step and stepping out of bounds. Know where you're at.
Yeah, it's like they're playing on a middle school court where you have hardly any room to stand.
Drives me nuts. But, you know, John Brannon likened it earlier in this year to where they plug one hole and another springs a leak. So, you know, you have a general overview of they foul a little too much. Which, you know, that Gardner getting to the free throw line has always been one of his strengths, so you worry about that. They foul too much. They turn it over too much when they're not playing well. But, you know, then there's a scoring drought that pops up or, you know, just you have a bad three-point night. They're shooting 28% from three on the season, which is just hard to even get your brain around being that bad from the three-point line. So it's been frustrating in that you feel like they're close because outside of Georgia, they've been in every one of their 6 losses, but they're just struggling to get over the hump right now. And we thought maybe SMU was going to be a turning point, but then they go and play terribly. They give up 52 points to Wichita State in the second half yesterday, which just for somebody that's been a UC guy most of my life, and I've been on this beat for 15 years now, giving up 52 points and a half. Most of mixed teams didn't give up 52 points in a game.
Right.
So seeing 52 points and a half is a little bit unsettling, to say the least.
Yeah, I was not aware of that. I had just seen the final. I wanted to watch some of that game, unfortunately unable to do so, and I saw that 82-76 final, but I had no idea that 52 of those 82 points came after the break.
It was 30-29 at halftime.
Wow.
Yeah. Unsettling, to say the least.
So, last thing for you, and you know, just taking a look at the league as a whole, you know, what's your take? Obviously, Houston really jumps out at you, and they're 5-1 with that road loss at Tulsa. Tulsa, Frank Hayes Ball Club, has won 6 straight, and then you have Wichita State battling everything that they're battling with the interim head coach after all that went on with Greg Marshall, and they're off to 7-3, 3-1 start, had a nice road win at Ole Miss. So what's your takeaways?
I don't think it's very good. From what I've seen, I think it's okay. I'm even at times questioning Houston a little bit, especially now that Caleb Mills is gone, and that was kind of their, you know, their scoring spark. I think there's a lot of average or to slightly above average in the league, but it seems like the more you watch, the more everybody is just kind of bunched up. I don't think the bottom of the league is as bad as it has been. Tulane is pretty rough right now. But it just feels like there's 7-8 teams in the middle of the league that are right around all the same level. Which is, you know, it's interesting because it's kind of a transition year, which we knew there were a lot of really good seniors that departed the league last year. But I just haven't got that sense that there's a lot of strength in the league this year. I think there's just a lot of teams that are right about that same level of, like, slightly below average to slightly above average. Like, 8 of them are all scrunched up right in that same spot.
Yeah, like you said, even teams like Tulane, Tulane's victory obviously came over us down in New Orleans after the Pirates had beaten them in Greenville by 10. But Tulane played Memphis competitively at home. And, yeah, pretty much anybody can beat anybody on a given night, it seems. And, you know, Temple, bless their hearts, they've only played 3 games. Everybody else has played at least 6, and most have played, you know, 9 or 10.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big stretch for Cincinnati. If they're going to get things back on track, you get ECU at home, and then you get – Tulane and then Temple. So if you're gonna move your way back in the right direction, you need to get on a little bit of a run here, because there's not going to be a whole lot of other chances where you get a 3-game stretch of winnable games in the middle of the schedule. So it's going to be interesting to see how this next week and a half goes.
Yeah, no doubt, and it'll be interesting to see how many teams the American are able to put in the big dance, which will, of course, unless something changes, all be taking place in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, that's going to be weird. I mean, it's nice for me because it's, you know, a 90-minute drive away, but then I realize that Cincinnati's probably not going to be playing in it, so I'll probably be watching it from home.
Hey, I've been watching the NCAA tournament from home, or at least as far as East Carolina is concerned, for about 30 years. So,
yeah, I think UC's been in there like 25 of the last 30. So missing will be watching the tournament without the Bearcats will be an interesting proposition if they can't get it back on track.
Yeah, but. As always, Chad, we appreciate the time. Before we let you go, go ahead and plug Bearcat Journal and tell folks how they can read your work and also listen to you.
BearcatJournal.com. You can find me on Twitter at Chad Brendel. A lot of good stuff. Getting ready to do one of the podcasts for the site here in a little bit. A lot of coverage on the defensive coordinator search. They're looking for a running back coach. I think we are done with stay and return announcements. And those have gone very well for the Bearcats. So if you're looking for anything, you see bearcatjournal.com, like I said, or you can find me on Twitter at Chad Brendel. Thanks, Bubba, for having me on. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks to Chad. And great job, Bubba, as always, this afternoon, the matinee interview. with Chad Brindle of the Bearcat General, 24/7 Sports. He's kind of like the Steve and I go for Cincinnati and Bubba. I'll tell you what, hopefully the Pirates can find a way to win that game. I think that it's probably the edge will go to Cincinnati because they're going to be at home. But if there's ever a chance to beat Cincinnati, it's we beat them a couple years ago, obviously at home, where they're really, really good. And I think they're trying to kind of find out their identity, find out who they are, right?
They are. Like I mentioned, they lost both Cumberlands, both Jaron, and then also Cousin, who had transferred in for last season as a grad transfer, and then also Trey Scott. So they lost a lot of key pieces, but they've been very competitive. Don't let that 3-7, 1-4 mark fool you. This is still a very good basketball team. It would definitely be our best win of the year, no doubt about it. And hopefully we'll play better than we've played in a few games. We're going to have an opportunity to win it.
No question about it. And hopefully the Pirates can do that. Obviously the game will be Wednesday at 5. So we'll have the overtime Wednesday evening, I would imagine, after hopefully the Pirates win. And that game will be at 5 o'clock on ESPN Plus. If you're watching on Facebook Live, Twitter, or YouTube, our YouTube channel, you'll see that on the screen of ESPN Plus, 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 4:30 airtime for the radio broadcast for the Learfield IMG College with Jeff Charles and Cy Seymour. And we appreciate, obviously, them very, very much. Well, Bubba, one of the things before we want to go, want to talk about one of my favorite things, your brainchild of 23 Jungle Tales, easy for me to say, our second season now. And very excited to have our very first sponsor, Pirate in itself, Pirate Supporting Pirates.
Absolutely. Really appreciate Mark Minicasi and PGXGloves.com. It was previously Primal Baseball. They do a terrific job. Kaz played for the Pirates at third base back in 2003 to 2005 during the Randy Mazey era. And he did such a great job then, but then went on to a lengthy minor league career, both for affiliated teams and then also independent ball. I know he played down in Mexico some, and that was a tremendous interview that we had, I guess, over a year ago now when we had Kaz on. But that was a lot of fun talking to him. We'll certainly have him back on really soon. But appreciate him and PGXGloves.com. Like Dave mentioned, customized and personalized batting gloves, fielding gloves, your normal baseball gloves, whether it's, your name, a message, your number, or some combination of those, he can produce that for you. Football gloves, golf gloves, and other swag, and give PGXGloves.com a look.
No doubt about it. Thanks to Mark, to Kaz. Appreciate you, buddy, very much. Again, PGXGloves.com. And looking forward to more of the Jungle Tales, 23 in all. And we just got done with Calvin Brown. That was outstanding. Calvin Brown on, we recorded on Friday evening, and he was fantastic. And you'll be able to, over the course, it won't be 23 consecutive days, obviously. We're starting it early, spacing them out. And we had such a huge response to that. By the way, folks, we're going to have Coach Cliff Godwin on our show. We'll have him on the next day or two. We'll have him on. So appreciate Coach Cliff Godwin. Be on the lookout for that. We'll promote that. And Coach means a lot to all of us. And looking forward to, we'll say this quickly, Bubba, talking about baseball. I know they had a preseason ranking. Was it last week of 13? Was it Perfect Game?
I believe it was. Pirates were 13th in the Perfect Game poll. That is, of course, the poll that or the organization, I should say, that Mike Rooney, who we've had on the show numerous times, and I'm sure we'll have back in the next few weeks. But Runes is part of that organization, does an excellent job. And 13th in that poll, and then some other polls have come out. I think, and this isn't an official poll, but I'm trying to remember it's a college baseball account on Twitter, maybe College Baseball Nation, but I retweeted it. We were ranked 16th by that unofficial poll. So most people think the Pirates are going to be, top 15, at least top 20 this year.
Hopefully we had a great time with them, following them. And last year, unfortunately, we couldn't have a season, finish the season, or have a College World Series, anything canceled. I pray to God that doesn't happen again this year. He's done an excellent job with all the staff recruiting. A lot of every time you turn around, Bubba, we'll end it like this. It's welcome another stud to the program, another stud and another stud. And if you know Cliff Godwin, he's not going to call them a stud if they're not a stud.
Yeah, this staff is just remarkable recruiting, and why shouldn't they be? I mean, you look at the track record of success they have everywhere they've been. Jason Dietrich entering his second year as pitching coach, former pitching coach of the year, very well respected. How well respected? Well, after accepting the East Carolina job, he had the opportunity to. He was sought after to be the pitching coach for the San Francisco Giants. So Jason Dietrich, Jeff Palumbo, you know, just up and down throughout the staff, very proven and a lot of tremendous coaches.
Very proud of the – I don't know, I'm not the numbers guy, Bubba. I believe it was right at a 3.5, or the GPA was big too. So congrats.
Yeah, it was at least a 3.5. I think it may have even been 3.6 something.
So that's one thing Coach said. Not only will you not play, you won't even practice if you don't do well in the classroom. So I didn't have the talent to play at that level for sure in college baseball at East Carolina. I would have played at Harrington Field, but I definitely didn't have the grades as well. So anyway, Bubba, thank you so much for all that you do for the show and obviously organizing the show and producing the show. I appreciate Kyle from LaGrange Barber. Also, Nate Ross, appreciate him. ESPN Plus college basketball analyst. And, of course, Chad Brindle from 24/7 Sports, the Bearcat Journal for Cincinnati. We'll be with you very soon after, the game. We'll have our overtime and so much more. And we'll have the folks on from Save ECU Swimming. The ladies got the swimming and diving back. And tennis, we'll have them on very soon as well. All right, so we'll get out of here, Bubba. Appreciate you very much again for producing behind the scenes, the interview with Chad, and so much more. This is the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates. And good night, everybody. Up and lean side to side.